Street at Today SOR.
Yesterday, according to the Telegraph sketchwriter Michael Deacon in the Commons, John Bercow was the absolute dead centre of attention, and he wallowed in it. He wallowed like a hippo in a jacuzzi, he said, stringing out his statement for what felt like an age, slowly building suspense as if he were the author of an airport thriller, delaying the big twist until the last moment. Finally, after no fewer than 9.5 minutes, the speaker put them all out of their misery. Well, John Bercow had a bit less to say this morning. He was out fetching a coffee on his way to the Parliament and wearing, unshaven and wearing no shirt, just a stripy purple jumper, as it were. And he was approached by a BBC reporter with a camera. And here's a flavour of what happened.
You said in January that Parliament can't rely on old precedents, Mr. Bercow.
Careful. Cars coming along here. I'm not going to sacrifice myself for your benefit. I know that you attach great weight to what you think, but perhaps you'd be kind enough to allow me to proceed.
How do you explain your decision?
Very good of you to do so.
Okay.
Very well done.
Lots of people are annoyed at this decision. What would you reply to that? Are you trying to delay Brexit? Postpone it? You said in January that Parliament can't only rely on precedent. It's a very old precedent. 17th century one. What made you choose to dig it up yesterday, Mr. Bercow? Do you think it's the right decision? What next for Brexit, Mr. Bercow?
Perhaps, gentlemen, you'd allow me to proceed to work. Thank you. And I wish you a good day. Thank you very much indeed.
And with that, he went through the entrance to the Commons there. And for more, I'm joined by Andrew Pearce, consultant editor and columnist with the Daily Mail, and by Kevin Maguire, associate editor with the Daily Mirror and columnist with the New Statesman. Good morning to you both. Thank you for coming to studio there
morning.
In London.
Pleasure.
Kevin, as I said, John Bercow, less to say for himself today, but what do you make of his démarche yesterday?
Oh, absolutely. If he was a hippo wallowing in it, he was a miniature hippo, because he's not that tall, about the size of a matchbox, is John Bercow. But he's thrown a spanner in the works unquestionably. There is something of a constitutional crisis. But there was general acceptance that he's taken the correct position. And yes, it goes back to 1604, before the Gunpowder Plot, before the English Revolution, but there have been other examples since, that a government cannot keep bringing back the same proposal in the hope of boring or beating into submission MPs.
But Kevin,
Theresa May can bring back a proposal, but it has to be a somewhat different proposal to the one rejected twice by the heaviest and the fourth heaviest defeats for a government in parliamentary history.
But what's he at? I'm looking at a tweet earlier by Andrew Marr, former political editor with the BBC, now a presenter of their Sunday Politics programme, and he says, on the face of it, Bercow's ruling makes a no-deal Brexit much more likely. I don't believe that for a second. Does he know something the rest of us don't? I rather think he does.
Well, some of the Tory Brexiteers, the Brextremists, the most hard line, who wouldn't back Theresa May's plan but want Brexit, and they want a no-deal Brexit, they sided with John Bercow because they believe that is likely. I think there is a greater risk of a no-deal Brexit, but Theresa May's plan, if it was backed by the DUP and was wrapped up in the delay in leaving beyond 29th of March, which is inevitable now, you could propose that to MPs, whether they'd back it or not. That's another matter, but they could propose it. All options are open at the moment, from no Brexit to a no-deal Brexit to a delayed Brexit to a general election to a potential second referendum. Everything is open, but what the Speaker has done is he's given power to Parliament. It's taken it away from the government, but he's given it to MPs, backbench MPs and Parliament. Now, I remember the Leave campaign kept saying they wanted to take back control for the sovereignty of Parliament. Well, we're seeing it in the UK.
Andrew Pearce, what do you think is going on, and particularly with the Speaker?
Look, the Speaker's not behaving like a referee anymore or an umpire. He's an activist. We know he hates Brexit. We know that there's a particularly inflammatory poster on his wife's car saying B to Brexit. We know that he gave an interview to Reading University students a couple of years ago, and he was excoriating about Labour's failure to be more Remain in the referendum campaign. He's made it clear to everybody and anybody who'll listen, he's going to use his office to try to thwart and delay and suppress Brexit. And people looking in will think, Here's the establishment yet again trying to thwart the will of the British people. 17.4 million people voted for Brexit. How many MPs voted for John Bercow, who, by the way, told us, promised that he would be standing down last summer? He's grandstanding in the most vainglorious way. This is a speaker who likes to regard himself as a modernising speaker, a champion of the people. Such a moderniser. He's gone back to 1604, when James I was king, to find a precedent by which he can block her deal. But in a funny way, you know, I think he's done her a favour, because it means she did not put that motion to the vote this week, yesterday or today, because almost certainly she'd have been defeated. She will now go to Brussels tomorrow, or no, on Thursday, for the European Council. They will almost certainly extend the Article 50 process for 2 years. She then comes back to her Brexiteer MPs, who Kevin Maguire was rightly saying still seem to cling on to this curious idea we may leave with no deal, and she'll say, this is your one and only chance to get us out of the European Union or face a 2 year delay. I'm a Roman Catholic, you know. Purgatory was abolished by the Vatican a couple of years ago, but if we have to stay for another 2 years, we'll be having a form of purgatory.
Are you sure it's not limbo that was abolished? I happen to be of the same faith myself. I hadn't heard they abolished purgatory.
That is
a discussion for another day.
It's widened it out, really.
Yeah. Can I say another thing about the speaker too? If he wants to go down this rule of historical precedence back to James I, we could always go back to the reign of Henry VIII, because he executed not one, not two, but three speakers. He chopped off their heads. And Bercow's only 5'4" in his stocking feet. So if we chopped his head off, he'd disappear completely.
Look. Andrew Pearce has been characteristically unfair to the Speaker. And the precedents, yes, we can go back to 1604, but they were in the 19th century, the early 20th century. The reason they haven't been more recently is because governments have recognised you can't keep banging your head against a brick wall, which is what Theresa May is doing. That's why there aren't more recent examples. Governments have played by the rules. This one's tried to break the rules. No point blaming the referee. The referee's on the pitch trying to keep order, and it's the government, one of the teams, that's been playing dirty.
No, he's not trying to keep order, because we know only in January, when he allowed a particularly difficult motion for the government on Brexit, tabled by one of the arch remainers on the Tory benches, he said about precedent, oh, we mustn't be guided by precedent, because precedent, if we only followed precedent, there'd be no progress. He follows precedent when it suits his anti-Brexit line and his anti-Conservative government line. He hates Tory ministers. He can't conceal his contempt for them, because they loathe him.
He was backed by the Conservative Party right yesterday. He was backed by Brexiteers. The position is, if you want a sovereign parliament that takes back control, it'll sometimes make decisions you don't like. And I know, Andrew, you just don't like the decisions, but you've just got to accept it. You wanted a sovereign parliament.
Yeah,
but you've got a sovereign
Kevin,
parliament.
As I said earlier, I think he's made a mistake, actually, because she avoids a third defeat this week. She brings it back next week. It will come back next week in a different form, because we will be having Article 50 extended for 2 years. Maybe they say even longer. Who knows?
Well, why are you moaning?
There'll just be one vote, and she may even get it squeaker over the line. No, I'm moaning about the Speaker, because he's a ghastly little popinjay who's playing to the gallery, and he does it so often.
Oh dear.
Well, I suppose one of the questions is that people want to answer it. Are you both of the view that whatever happens, there won't be a hard Brexit in 10 days' time?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not happening. Even if she gets her vote through next week, and it's a big if, there has to be all sorts of tidying up legislation passed, and that will take several weeks, if not a couple of months. But I don't think we're going to have a hard Brexit. But if the Brexiteers, and I am a Brexiteer, but the hardline Brexiteers on the Tory benches aren't careful, we'll get a much softer form of Brexit than they want, something like this ridiculous Norway option, which means we stay in the single market, which means more free movement of people.
But Parliament decisively rejected a no-deal hard Brexit on the 29th
but it wasn't
of,
a binding vote.
Of March.
It wasn't binding.
The only risk of it happening a week Friday would be if the other 27 countries, including Ireland, got very tough and refused an extension to Theresa May.
I want to play another clip. This time it is the Tory Brexiteer, former Northern Ireland Secretary of State, Owen Paterson. He welcomed the Speaker's intervention yesterday.
I'm delighted. It's very good news, this. I couldn't see the point in bringing back virtually identical text to the Commons to be defeated for yet another time, for the third time. We can now move on and grasp this opportunity. the Prime Minister has a real chance to go to the Council on Thursday and make it very clear that the current law of the land, passed by an overwhelming majority of MPs, is that we will leave at 11 o'clock on the 29th of March, and that will deliver the promise to the 17.4 million voters in the referendum. It'll deliver the promise to all those Conservative voters who supported their manifesto, which said we would honour leave by leaving the single market, leaving the customs union, and leaving the remit of the Court of Justice.
So, despite what he says, despite what you and Kevin are saying, he still sees the prospect of leaving in 10 days' time.
I'm afraid they're deluded. I like Owen Paton very much. You probably wouldn't put him in captain your team in Celebrity Mastermind, to be honest. But he is in denial. The Commons voted last week against leaving with no deal. Although it's not a legally binding vote, the Prime Minister accepted that vote, and they will table something called a statutory instrument, which is a procedural motion, which would effectively stop us leaving with no deal. It's simply not going to happen. So they're clutching at straws, those people.
There is zero evidence that 17.4 million people voted for the hard no-deal Brexit Owen Paton wants, so he's absolutely wrong on that. But it's an indication, him using that argument and talking so passionately about it, there is an unholy alliance at the moment against Theresa May's deal. And you have people who want Britain to remain in the European Union. They have people who want a much softer Brexit, remaining in the customs union. And then you have people like Owen Paton and the DUP who want that hard Brexit. It's an unstable alliance, all coming from very different positions. It's incredibly risky. It's where you could stumble out of the European Union without a deal by accident. I think the Prime Minister's aware of that. I'm just hoping the 27 other countries are aware of that and do not deny the Prime Minister the extension she will seek next week.
Andrew, a lot of text coming in on this. Berko, don't shoot the messenger. He's only stating facts now. The Solicitor General yesterday described him as interventionist, but isn't, despite what you say, isn't it his job to intervene when government is running roughshod over the rules?
Well, I'm not sure the government is riding roughshod over the rules, because most people, until John Bercow started reciting chunks of Erskine May yesterday, that's the Bible of parliamentary procedure, knew anything about this precedent. But you have to remember, John Bercow is at the centre of major allegations of bullying, not just the culture of bullying at Parliament generally, but personally he's been accused of seriously bullying his staff. Senior Labour MPs of the stature of Margaret Beckett, our first woman Foreign Secretary, Dame Margaret Beckett, said it was important to keep Bercow in the job because Brexit trumps bad behaviour. In other words, they know, those people who support Remain, that they need that speaker in the speaker's chair, because he is doing everything he can to engineer it so that Brexit either is delayed or, better still, doesn't happen. And you could see it in his self-satisfied, smug sneer yesterday.
MPs were raising last week the precedent and asking whether the government could come back again. Angela Eagle did it, an MP, Chris Bryant from Wales, did it also. Bercow was actually replying to them. And as Speaker, you are the highest authority in the House of Commons. MPs can overrule you. If Theresa May thought she could get a majority to rub out the precedent, she could do so. The fact is, she can't. He is imposing the rules. He has a lot of leeway, unquestionably. Some of the judgments are pretty finely made, but he made his case, I thought, very clearly. And it is Theresa May who, yes, in one way might be relieved she was not going to suffer a defeat this week. She's probably postponed it to next week if she tries to push her plan through again. But Bercow was the ref. He was abiding by the rules of the game. Right. I think it's totally wrong to criticise him.
One other question. Well, it's a two-part question. Will there be an election this year in the United Kingdom, Andrew?
I'd be surprised, not least because a lot of Labour MPs don't want it. In fact, I just was talking to one on my way here, certainly doesn't want a Labour election because they're horrified at the thought Jeremy Corbyn, his leader, might actually win the election. I'd be surprised.
Right. Talking to MPs last night, Conservative and Labour, they increasingly think there will be a general election. They fear it, they don't really want it, but they cannot see a way out of what is a constitutional crisis and a complete mess. When the country did vote for Brexit, it was 52-48% across the UK. It's a disunited kingdom. As you know, Northern Ireland, Scotland wanted to be in, England and Wales wanted to be out, but we're going to go out. Might have been on lies, might have been on deceit, might have been on illegality, but the vote was there.
Yeah, on the Remain side.
You have to respect unless you can overthrow it.
Part two of the question is, if there is to be an election and you don't agree whether there is or it isn't going to be one, who will lead the Tories into it, Andrew?
Well, if it was if the election came very quickly, they'd be stuck with her, and that's a big factor why the Tories don't want it. If the election was later this year, they'll topple her. They're ruthless with failing leaders, and I think it would be Jeremy Corbyn and Jeremy Hunt, the Foreign Secretary, would be my tip. But you can never tell with Tory MPs because they are the most duplicitous electorate in Britain.
Kevin, who will lead the Tories if not Theresa May into an election?
If the election is later, it could be Jeremy Hunt. It could still be Sajid Javid. It could be Penny Mordaunt. One of the factors keeping her in place at the moment is there is no opponent head and shoulders to replace her. However, she knows a long delay, Britain leaving the European Union 2 years, she's finished, she's toast, she's out, because they will then have time to have that leadership election and re-begin negotiations.
Okay, fascinating stuff. We leave it there for now. My thanks to you both, Andrew Pearce, consultant editor and columnist with the Daily Mail, Kevin McGuire, associate editor with the Daily Mirror. Thank you both indeed for joining us.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.